This is Exposure on Impact 89 FM.
WDBM East Lansing.
The show that lets you know about everything that goes on at the MSU campus that you otherwise might not know about. Tune in every Sunday at 9 a.m. I'm your host, Tessa Crush. Welcome to Exposure. Hello, hello, and welcome back to Exposure. You are listening to Season 14. I'm your host, Tessa Crush. Today, I'm here with the Michigan State University Knitting Circle, a club for people of all skill levels who want to join a community of knitters and crocheters. Their weekly meetings are dedicated to taking a break from studying and participating in a new hobby with other crafty Spartans. Thank you guys so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Hello.
All right. Hi. Could you guys start off by introducing yourselves?
I can go first. My name is Natanya Dominiani. I am a sophomore here at MSU, and I am a digital storytelling major.
Hi, I'm Cordelia Rutter. I am a junior MSU studying psychology.
Hello, everyone. My name is Emma Wilson. I am a third-year student here at Michigan State, majoring in biochemistry and molecular biology.
And what's your guys' involvement with the Knitting Circle?
I am just a normal, everyday member. I started actually just this year, so I'm a beginner as well.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Started in the club or started crocheting / knitting?
Both, actually.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, so I just decided at the beginning of this year, so like September, October, around then, I was like, I need a new hobby. So I was just like, yeah, all right, I'll just go to knitting club. Sounds fun, because I'd never done it before. So yeah, I learned how to do it and I joined the club. So yeah.
So you joined the club before even learning.
Oh yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I started with the MSU Knitting Circle around when the organization itself started. I was actually at the first meeting. We met in the Beale Botanical Gardens and chatted about the future of the club. And I've been to almost every meeting since.
I am actually the Vice President of Outreach for the MSU Knitting Circle. So I'm on the e-board. Nice to have a little bit of leadership in this club, something that I'm very passionate about. So that means every day I'm checking up on our emails. I'm also posting on our Instagram, updating about our meetings, and also sending out our weekly reminders as well.
Awesome. And you just mentioned the beginning of the organization. Could you tell me a little bit about the history of it?
Yeah, it was actually my roommate, Chloe Pottinger. It was fall 2022, and she came up to me and said, you know what, there's no knitting circle, no like knitting club here on campus, and I think that'd be a really good thing to have. And I was like, of course, I'll support you, I'll do whatever you want, that sounds like a really cool idea. She's been knitting and crocheting for a very long time, and I thought this was also a great opportunity for me to learn as well. So we set out some flyers, and we all met up at the Beale Botanical Garden with our first few members. And then from there, it just kind of took off. We were meeting weekly inside the MSU library in one of their study rooms because our membership at the beginning was quite small. I would say maybe there was like 8 to 10 of us coming weekly. And then we finally became a registered student organization. I think it was
January 2023, around there.
Yeah, that rings a bell. Yeah, I would agree to say that was probably it. And then from there, we were able to kind of branch out. We were able to find some new locations for our club to have weekly, because our club at that point was getting a little bit bigger. And we were kind of outgrowing that little room in the library. And then we were also able to take our club to Sparticipation, which was an amazing opportunity. We got so many new members.
That's
after
exactly
that.
How I heard about it. Yeah.
That's
I went
so
to
cool.
Sparticipation, was like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. So, yeah, that's exactly how I heard about it.
Sparticipation is so effective.
It really is. It really is. I was very shocked about how many people who were, you know, interested in our little club that we made.
And would you say the majority of people joining the club had prior experience knitting and crocheting, or are a lot of people learning?
I don't know. We have a really good mix of both, which I know like learning something new can be kind of scary. So it was really nice to see, you know, people really wanting to learn something like this.
Absolutely. All right. So we already sort of got into it, but I really do want to say my icebreaker question. So what is a project that you guys have always wanted to do but haven't gotten around to quite yet?
I mean, as a beginner, there are millions of projects I haven't gotten around to yet. But I think one thing that I would eventually like to do would be to like make a sweater, you know, like really classic. I have a friend who is also in a knitting club, and she is so talented, and she makes sweaters and clothes and all that stuff. And, you know, I would just like to make something like that as well. So yeah, I think a sweater is a pretty attainable and like pretty fun goal for myself. So
I came into the knitting circle actually like never having knitted before. I was mainly a crochet person. And so a little bit earlier this year, I started my first knitting project. So that's one thing I really want to finish that.
No, I definitely agree. I really want to make a sweater. I haven't been knitting very much recently. I've kind of went on the crochet side for a little while. So I want to like kind of get back into that. So I'm really feeling like my next project should be a cable knit sweater vest. I know cables are really hard to do. That's what my roommate, the president, says. But I think with her help, I can make it work.
Yeah, it sounds like she knows what she's doing. Have you guys ever heard of the sweater curse?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
No.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to explain it correctly, but I heard that if you make someone a sweater, particularly in a relationship, the relationship is doomed.
Oh my God. You know what? I did hear that actually. Yes.
And that's held me back personally. So what's something that you've made that you're really proud of?
You know, being a knitter, I just a little side note, I tried to dabble in crochet because when I first joined, you know, I hadn't done either. So I was like, oh, I'll just try both. Why not? I was not very good at crochet.
Mm.
So that's why I've gone in the knitting direction, kind of opposite of you, Emma. And yeah, so what I've made, I mainly just focus on my little granny squares, you know, really simple, really easy, basic stitch granny squares. But what I'm hoping to do with that is eventually make enough granny squares to make like a little blanket. Because I think that'd be, yeah, I think it'd be like a cute way to showcase like my progress. Because like, you know, I have my first granny square and it is awful. It's, you know, it's bad. It's rustic, but you know, I have my most recent one and like I'm getting better and better. And so eventually I hope to make like a little blanket out of all of these granny squares to kind of showcase my progress.
So this is kind of a story. My favorite musical is Hadestown. And so, and one of the characters in it wears like a bright green dress. So I wanted to make myself a somewhat similar like springtime dress to wear to see the show.
And, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so I was able to wear it to see the show. I got a lot of compliments, and even some people asked me if I did it on purpose, which I did.
You did.
The product I'm most proud of, it's kind of silly, but I made this balloon dog, this crochet balloon dog.
That is
and,
so
like,
fun.
You have to, like, make it in, like, a big, long, like, rope. And then you get to, at the end, once it's all done, you get to like fold it up into like a balloon dog. And it's so cute.
How do you think that being part of this organization has impacted your experience at MSU?
I think definitely it, you know, again, helped me find a new hobby. It gave me something else to do because, you know, it's nice to have a break from work and school and all that stuff. And it's nice to have something to look forward to every week. And so I think it really helped me just kind of relax, like, take time for myself that isn't like being on my phone, you know what I mean? And I've made friends through it. Actually, the friend that I was talking about that, you know, makes all the clothes and stuff, I kind of met her through a friend, you know, but because we were both in knitting club is how we really met, and now we're very close. I'm really glad I started to go, and I hope to continue going like my whole time here at college.
Yeah, my first year of college before the knitting circle was founded, I wasn't really involved in a lot on campus. But when I discovered the new MSU knitting circle and I was able to go every week, I felt so much more connected to the community and the people around me. And I just loved having that to look forward to every week.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with everything everyone said so far. Being part of the knitting circle definitely opened me up to a community that I've never really been part of before. I don't know. I've been really crafty my whole life, but I haven't really been crafty like with people in a community. So it is so amazing coming in every week and just having conversations with everyone, just talking about like what's going on in life, all over being crafty. So I'm so glad that I'm a part of this community, and I hope to remain with it as long as I'm here.
What exactly does a meeting look like? I know you guys meet every Wednesday at 6, right? What does it look like?
I mean, I, from my experience as a new member, you know, I haven't been around for, you know, for very long. Like I was never there for, you know, the little library meetings, because funnily enough, the very first meeting I went to, it was so crowded because we met in Wells Hall in just one of the smaller little classrooms. And it was so busy that they had to divide us into beginners and the people who actually knew what they were doing. So I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this is such a, like, I can't believe I hadn't heard of this before participation, because like, it seems like such a big influential club.
So and popular. So,
right. And so we stayed in Wells for a couple weeks, and then we moved to Olds, like one of the lecture halls in Olds Hall. Really big room, really hot, like all the time. And now we are in, oh goodness.
Bessie,
yeah. So yeah, that's just, oh, and you asked what a meeting looks like. For me, I just go, I bring whatever little granny square project I'm working on for that week, and I just hang out and talk, and like, it's just fun because, you know, everybody is like working in their own little groups or working alone, but we're all together doing it. And it's just a very welcoming environment. And, you know, sometimes like for holidays and stuff, we'll do like special little things, like for Christmas, you know, the leaders brought in like hot chocolate and stuff, and we watched the Muppets Christmas Carol. And so, yeah, we do like fun little things like that. And so a meeting for me specifically, I guess, is I just go sit with my friends, hang out and like enjoy my time. And it's just, it's really great.
Yeah. After, well, we were, I would say last academic school year, we ended out, I would say, with 20 to 25 regular members coming in. We went to participation just to kind of like reach out to the community, and we got a whole bunch of people who signed up. We were like, you know, no one's really going to come to the meeting. You know, we're going to be fine in our little room in Wells. I show up to Wells and there are people standing out in the hallway, and we're like, oh my gosh, there's so many people. What are we going to do? So we were like, okay, we need to take a deep breath here and just like figure this out. So we ended up splitting everyone, like we said before, into those two rooms with like the experience and those who are beginners. You know, after like, you know, a few weeks, things kind of like dwindled down. People like either are like, okay, I wanted to attend this other club, so like, I'm not going to really show up to this one anymore. So I think we got like a pretty good standing of people that kind of just like fell out and kind of moved on to things that better fit them. But we also retained quite a few new members, which was really nice. So we decided, okay, Wells, we've kind of outgrew Wells at that point, so we're going to try to do a little something bigger. So we were like, okay, next best would probably be a lecture hall. So we spent last semester in Olds, but we just felt like the lecture style room wasn't really fitting our community. Like, we are,
it's
really
not much of a circle.
Yeah. We basically, I felt like we were very secluded, and it's all about really interacting with each other. So we were like, okay, we got to figure out something different. So right now we're in Bessie, and so for the foreseeable future, will remain in Bessie. I think that's a good fit for us and everything. And like mentioned earlier, we just are very chill. You know, you can come for the whole time. You don't have to come for the whole time. You know, you don't have to show up every week. Just like come in whenever you're feeling like it. You bring your own project, but we also have like beginner kits and our own little array of different things if you need something like some yarn or a crochet hook or knitting needles or that you may need. We have a little selection of those that our members can choose from as well. And we just come in and just, you know, talk about our weeks, talk about life, sharing what we're all working on. So it's pretty nice.
It seems like a very community building activity.
It is. It really is. You know, working that with your hands and like, you know, crafting, and then also while, you know, talking with other people is like really good for your mental health.
Absolutely. And like you said, it's a good relaxing activity that isn't just on your phone, and you're actually producing something, which feels really good.
Right, exactly. Like, it's good for your pride.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, I made that. Like every time I finish my little granny square, I'm like, yes. Like,
yes, another one.
I did another one. We're one step closer to my little blanket.
Yes, the blanket. For someone who might not be familiar, how would you describe the differences between crocheting and knitting?
Knitting is with two needles, and it's a lot more difficult to, if you make a mistake, go back and fix it. Mm. Crochet is with one hook, and you're basically making loops within loops, if that makes sense. And if you make a mistake, you can very easily pull out like and redo your stitches.
Can you achieve different things with the two different things?
I would say crochet is probably faster than knitting. I mean, am not that experienced in knitting, but I've been working on this scarf that I've been making for a while, and I'm not very far, but I could probably make a similar project, like a scarf with crochet, in a much faster amount of time. But that could also be due to my experience levels in each.
I mean, again, I'm not very experienced with crochet, but based on experience, and this might be wrong, so you might need to edit this part out. But based on just what I've seen, I think it's easier to make little trinkets, like your little balloon dog. I've heard that's easier with crochet rather than knitting. Knitting is better for larger pieces of fabric, like maybe sweaters or scarves or stuff like that. And then crochet is good for, you know, if you want to make little stuffed animals or just other crafts. Again, I'm not super sure.
No, I agree with that 100%. Yeah. Typically, I would say knitting is more for like your garments and type. I mean, you can still use crochet for garments, but usually when you go to the store to buy something, it's going to look knitted.
Yeah, no, I will say most of the clothes that I made have been crochet, but that's just because that's what I'm used to.
Right. So I know we mentioned that you guys do a lot of community building, but do you do any team bonding outside of crocheting and knitting? Do you do other things as well as a group?
Well, we mentioned this a little bit earlier that we like to have some times, or like at least once a month, some little party or something to like bring some people in to make it a little bit special. So we've done different things. Like we've had like a little tea party for Valentine's Day.
Oh,
it was so cute. You know, we brought in some tea bags and some little cakes for everyone to enjoy. We've also done like a hot chocolate type. I think did we do something for Halloween?
Yeah, you brought in candy for Halloween.
And we did bring candy.
And we brought in the cider. Nightmare Before. Yes, cider, and we watched The Nightmare Before Christmas. I remember that.
So fun. And for someone who might be interested in joining but doesn't know how to crochet or knit, how would they learn in it? I mean, you could speak to that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh yeah, I can represent that demographic. But yeah, so you ask like how would they learn?
Yeah. Are people usually teaching each other?
Oh yeah, people there are so helpful. Everybody's just so supportive. Like, I swear, like the first couple times I went, obviously had no idea what I was doing. I didn't even ask, and people were like, "Oh, like, do you need help?" And I was like, "Yeah." And people just give you little tips and tricks, and like, they're all so like kind about it. Like, everybody's so open to helping each other. And so definitely the way I learned is like, you know, we did some demonstrations like the first couple of weeks while we were in Wells. I remember the leaders did some demonstrations that were very helpful. And then I think independently that inspired me, like outside of the knitting circle, like I would go sit by the river on like my days off, and I would just sit there like repeating a step over and over and over again. And, you know, obviously YouTube helps, but if you want that like community and like human to human interaction to learn something that's more hands-on, you know, because again, like I said, YouTube's great, but it just doesn't offer the same humanity.
Absolutely.
Obviously, as like talking to somebody in a community that you belong to. And so yeah, if you're interested in joining the club, I think that the people at Knitting Club are very helpful and will help you do whatever you want to do.
On that note, if you don't have the supplies for it, like, don't worry about it. We have supplies for you. It does come with a little fee for them, but you get a little ball of yarn and your choice of knitting needles or a crochet hook. And then we have, you know, you can either reach out to those general members, or we even have our vice president of training, whose job is that when new members come in wanting to learn how to knit or crochet, she's on top of it, showing everyone how to do it. She is absolutely amazing. We all love her here.
Yeah. And to kind of add on to that, the materials they give you, you know, the yarn, the crochet hooks, the knitting needles, all of the materials that I have are from that little beginner kit. So
wow.
Thank you.
No, of course.
It really helps me.
How do you keep so much yarn?
I have heard that it takes up a lot of space. My roommate has just a big drawer that she just has full of all of her yarn. She has just like scattered all around her knitting needles and crochet hooks, but I can't shouldn't say anything because I'm becoming more and more like that with every passing day.
My friend, she just has like boxes. I don't have very many supplies, obviously, because once again, I'm kind of new to this all, but I do have my little tote bag that I have like designated knitting tote bag that
did you
I
knit
use.
The tote bag?
No, that'd be cool, but I did not.
If future project, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe.
Add it on the list after the blanket.
Oh my gosh, my list of products that I want to do is so long.
I can imagine.
I learned over the pandemic via YouTube that I just needed a pandemic hobby, and that was the one that came to mind. And I knew that my mom had done crochet. She even crocheted my baby blanket when I was a baby.
Aww.
Yeah, so I started over the pandemic and then got way more into it after I joined the knitting circle. Yeah.
I feel like that was the story for a lot of people. I swear, like, I talked to a couple other people. I was like, oh, how'd you get into this? Pandemic, you know, but a lot of the times
we needed
people,
something to do.
Yeah, I know. I should have gotten onto it sooner. I think I spent pandemic on my phone.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of people actually, I've talked to a couple people who it's like a generational thing almost. Like, it's a family tradition kind of thing. Like, you know, their parents taught them how to knit or crochet, and, you know, it's just kind of carried on. So
yeah, I've seen that in a lot of people. Their grandma taught their mom who taught them. How do you learn new projects? Are you typically reading patterns? Do you watch videos?
I personally like reading patterns. I'm not the kind of person who likes to, I guess, freeball it. I know there are some people who come to the club who are like making their own patterns, maybe even selling them. Like, that's just not me. But I like following directions, if that makes sense. So I like doing the patterns.
No, I 100% agree. I have to have some sort of pattern, some sort of YouTube video. TikTok is a great place to find new projects. Pinterest is a great place to find new projects. Yeah, and then I just get the pattern and try to figure it out from there. If I have any questions, I will like bring it to the knitting circle, and there will be someone there who like kind of knows what to do and can help me if I have like something's not going right.
Right.
So it's super helpful having that community behind me. Like, if I'm somewhere that I'm so lost, I know, just wait till Wednesday, just wait till knitting circle, and then I go get that figured out there.
Totally. That's such a good resource, because I'm sure it can get confusing trying to like put a pattern, apply a pattern to your
definitely
project. So you need some assistance from someone who's been doing it because their grandmother taught them when they were a kid or something.
I guess for me, I haven't really tested the waters beyond my simple little knit stitch, but I hope to. And when I do, I have a friend, another friend who comes every once in a while, and she always has a new book. She just always finds books with patterns in them, and they're fun to look through. Definitely, they're a little intimidating sometimes, but you know what? Eventually, I will venture beyond my simple little granny square knit stitch, and I will definitely be looking at her books.
What would you say are some benefits that members gain for being a part of the knitting circle?
I guess, like, I think we've kind of gone over a lot of the emotional things, like emotional perks that you get. I mean, like I said, you know, you have a community to go to. You have a community that you belong to of people always willing to help. And, you know, you can just go and just talk to people, you know. Everybody's here to listen. You know, we're all doing our own thing, our own projects, but together. And so emotionally and mental health wise, I think it's just a really great place to go. And then, you know, like Emma was saying, we have little parties sometimes. So if you want fun little snacks and drinks and good stuff, you can definitely go there as well. And yeah, also, like we mentioned earlier, I think just the pride of like making something is a big perk, especially for me, like as a new member, because, you know, a year ago, I didn't know how to do any of this stuff. And so having that knowledge now is just something that I can think about and go like, oh, wow, like I did that. So,
yeah. Another thing I'll say is that knitting or crochet can be very solitary hobbies, right? You can do them and you don't necessarily have to share it with anyone. But with this group, you can share your successes, get advice from other people. You can look at someone else's project and be like, oh, I want to make that. It makes it into more of a group hobby than just doing it by yourself.
Totally.
I agree with everything everyone has said. I think being part of community is really important, especially in being like a big school like Michigan State. You gotta kind of have to find your little niche, your little safe side of campus that you have with people who share like same passions as you do. And this fit me very well. And I like really hope that it fits a lot of other people too who are looking to join this type of community. Everyone is so kind, so welcoming, so inclusive. Just from the get-go, I just like knew that this was like a great place for me.
What would you say your most memorable moment of being a part of the organization is?
I think for me personally, as someone who's part of the e-board, part of our outreach, I really, really enjoy being kind of in the little higher up position because I get to help like keep advancing the club along and like being active in its evolution here at Michigan State. So everything I've got to do with that and all the experiences I've got to have through that type of leadership role has really been really great for me. And I think is what has made my time as part of the knitting circle so memorable.
I think mine is a little similar, except I haven't had that leadership opportunity, but just being there at that first meeting in the botanical gardens and then going to the library, all of us sitting in that little room together for months and then finally becoming a registered student organization and then everybody showing up after participation, just seeing how far we've come the past couple of years has just been incredible.
Yeah, coming to that first meeting and seeing like, oh wow, like this is a really like powerful club. Like people want to come to this and I'm like, yeah, like I want to be a part of this. And also, I think just like, you know, making new friends, like meeting new people and actually like inviting some of my other friends to come. Like, it's just a fun little place. Like, come do your little projects. Come do your thing. And being able to network to different people like within the club, kind of like outside of the club and then bringing them in. It's just, yeah, just a really like fun thing to do.
So you touched on how much it's evolved since you've started. What are your goals for the future of the organization?
Okay, I could talk a little bit about that. You know, the future is kind of unknown at this point. I'm really hoping that it will still continue even long after I'm gone. But I feel like hopefully in my leadership roles that I'm able to help give it a good enough foundation that it can continue. I think it would be really cool, you know, just, you know, keeping it as it is, having that really building that community with new people, having new members come in as we continue it with every academic year, still going to participation, spring participation, still having those fun little events that we do every month. But I feel like there is still so much room to grow and something I'm really looking forward to. Hopefully we can still next year. I would love to do like little craft days where we kind of are able to introduce our club to new crafts, whether that be like sewing, embroidery, cross stitching. I think it'd be really fun just to kind of branch out and see what else is out there because a lot of people are new to knitting and crocheting and may not be familiar with other types of crafting, or maybe there's people who have only done knitting and crocheting and want to learn something else.
Yeah, speaking as those people, I think that would be amazing. Because my mom does cross stitch and it's just fun, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would love to branch out. So
yeah.
As a member, yes.
Awesome, yes. Awesome. I got one vote.
Amazing. All right. And for anybody who's interested in getting involved, where can they find more information on the Knitting Circle?
We do have an Instagram page. I would say that is a great place to like go start. We meet every Wednesday from 6 to 7:30 in Bessie, room 105 currently. If anything changes, it will be on the Instagram page. But I think that's a great place to start for someone who's looking to join.
Or if you're like me and you're literally starting from square one, you can definitely go to Sparticipation.
And what exactly is the Instagram?
At MSU Knitting Circle.
Amazing. Easy enough. I'll remember that one. All right. Do you guys have anything else you'd like to add?
No, not really. But thank you for having us. This was a really great opportunity. And I'm so glad we could, you know, put our club out there for everyone.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this is fun.
And that's it for our show. Thank you to our station manager, Delaney Rogers, general manager, Jeremy Whiting, and program director, McKenna Lowndes. And as always, thank you to you, our listeners. If you like what you've heard, come back next week. I'm Tessa Kresh. You've been listening to
Exposure.
This was this week's episode of Exposure. Keep in mind that the views and opinions discussed on Exposure are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff at Impact 89 FM. If you're interested in going back and listening to our archive of stories, feel free to check out our website at impact89fm.org. And of course, if you're interested in what's going on next week, you can tune back in and we'll see you back here. You've been listening to Exposure.